at my door, the leaves are falling. A cold, wild wind will come. Sweethearts walk by together, and I still miss someone. No, I never got over those blue eyes. I see them everywhere. I miss those arms that held me when all the love was there. I wonder if she's sorry.
fellas. Give me a splay burn around the perimeter with holes at 40, 60, and 80 meters from right here. Thank you.
Thank you. jockeys, whores and pimps, devils around my bed. There's no choice, and it makes no difference, and no one seems to notice. Sometimes I feel like screaming. Sometimes I feel I just can't win. Sometimes I feel like I was born to die in arms in Berlin. Intoxicated by the orgies, abandoned in the garden, demanding morphine for communion, because her soul was burning, burning, burning. She said, sometimes I feel
I was so high off the ground that I could see for miles around.
Silence. I don't know. Once again, your neighborhood blue coal dealer brings you the thrilling adventures of the Shadow, the hard and relentless fight of one man against the forces of evil. These dramatizations are designed to demonstrate forcibly to old and young alike that crime does not pay. We all know the government is attempting to conserve rubber for the war effort. One way of accomplishing this important objective is by rationing gasoline. Another is the recommended 25% cut in truck mileage. The success of this plan depends greatly upon you. It means that as a consumer, you must cooperate with the man who delivers merchandise to your door. It means, in connection with coal deliveries, that you can get good service if you notify your blue coal dealer in advance, so that he can set up a schedule to fulfill your heating requirements for the entire season. In this way, he'll be able to plan his trip. He can make one trip do for several homes, and everyone will be warm and comfortable this winter. The Shadow, mysterious character who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Crunch, wealthy young man about town. Several years ago in the Orient, Cranston learned a strange and mysterious secret. The hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so that they cannot see. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible Shadow belongs. Today's drama, Death Shoots an Arrow.
All right, for us to go on in, Cardona?
We have an appointment with the commissioner.
Go right ahead, Miss Lane, Mr. Cranston. Boss alone.
Thank you. Now, me, Margo.
Thank you.
pardon me, Commissioner, but my name is Cranston. Miss Lane and I thought we had a dinner engagement with you.
Yes, and don't look now, but it's almost 8:30.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, I forgot. I've been studying this letter that just came by special delivery. It's anonymous.
Anonymous?
Yes, it worries me. It's about old Ben Marlowe and his family. You like to see it?
Yes, I certainly would.
Well, words cut out of newspapers and pasted on common stationery.
Well, read it, Lamont.
All right. Dear Commissioner, a great danger now hangs over the home of Benjamin Marlowe. The blow may fall at any moment. You can do nothing to stop it. A friend.
Probably some crank.
Or a criminal. Tipping you off and defying you. You know, criminals like to feel wise and superior.
Who is Mr. Marlowe? I seem to know that name.
Oh, Marlowe's a grand old guy. Used to be rich, but he's broke now. Sick, too. Hasn't been able to walk for the last year. He lives in his old house with a grandson and granddaughter, I think.
Wow. He's had a lot of fun in his time, anyway. Tried every hobby there is, from archery to yacht racing.
Well, it's late now. I'll go out and see him in the morning. Nothing will happen overnight.
I wouldn't be too sure, Commissioner.
Nonsense, Cranston. Well, come on, Miss Lane. Where shall we go for dinner?
Grandfather should be asleep instead of playing that silly flute. Oh, who's there? Who is it?
It is Ando, Miss Enid.
You startled me. What do you mean, hiding there in the corner?
Ando, listen. Music.
You listen too much around here. Usually it is something you're not meant to hear.
Not good to hate Ando.
That sounds like a threat. I don't know why my cousin ever brought you from Guatemala in the first place. Go along.
Ando, go, Miss Enid.
Well.
Come. Oh, come in, Enid. Was it you talking outside?
Ando was standing there listening to you play.
Huh. That savage would kill you as soon as look at you.
He gives me the shivers.
Yes. I've been practicing on my flute. Well, it's getting a bit rusty.
Grandfather.
Now, what's the matter?
How did you get the flute? I left it on the mantelpiece. You can't walk. Who got it for you?
Why, no one. Right here beside me.
I'm sure it wasn't, Grandfather.
Oh, nonsense, child.
Very well. I came to say goodnight, Grandfather.
Then it must be 8:00. As you always come right on the dot.
I believe in doing things on schedule.
I suppose you have to when you do all the work in a huge house like this. How about your cousin lending you a hand?
Howard's busy hunting a job.
He should have held on to the one he had in Guatemala.
Oh, it wasn't his fault they let him out.
Maybe. Oh, are you and Howard having your usual game of chess tonight?
Yes, we are.
Like a couple of old fogies promptly at 8:30. In the library as usual?
I suppose so.
A young girl like you staying at home every night. Now, you ought to be gay, having a good time. Well, my dear, perhaps we won't always be broke. No, you won't stay at home and play chess with Howard all your life. I still have a few tricks up my sleeve.
Howard?
What is it, Enid?
Did you give Grandfather his flute tonight?
No, I didn't. Why?
Oh, nothing. Are you ready to play, Howard? I have the chessmen all set up.
I suppose so, Enid. But would you think it's silly if I asked you to change seats with me?
Why, Howard, changing seats?
No, it's not that. It's just that with my back to the French windows, I can't get my mind on the game. Enid, I have a constant feeling that someone is standing behind me outside in the orchard.
Oh, how silly of you. Of course I'll change chairs if it'll make you feel any easier.
Thank you.
There. I don't know what's the matter with you, Howard, just because you lost your job in Guatemala.
Enid, I wasn't fired. I ran away.
Ran away?
To keep from being murdered.
That's ridiculous.
I don't expect you to believe it. Nobody up here would believe it.
Wouldn't believe what?
Enid, when you're down there, the jungle lies all about you, dark and slimy and full of evil. You hear faint voices, whispers, the barest echo of mocking laughter. But you never know where they come from. You never see the people who make them.
Howard, for goodness sake, try to talk sensibly. Now, what is all this about?
Have you ever heard of the Mariposas? They're a strange cult. Strange and sinister. Like a fool, I wouldn't believe there were regions sacred to them. I sent men in there to cut mahogany. And then I received the death warning.
The death warning?
The mark of a cloven hoof in the earth just outside my window.
A cloven hoof? Oh, Howard. Honestly, you're funny. That was probably made by a cow.
One cloven hoof mark. Only one. No other marks around it.
All right, then someone was playing a joke on you.
I wish it were a joke.
Well, and even if it were true, you're 1,000 miles away from there now.
1,000 miles, 10,000 miles, it would make no difference. They had their own way of tracking you down. Tracking you down and killing you.
Now,
I tell you, you can't escape them ever. Only this morning I saw it again. The mark of the cloven hoof outside my window.
Howard, don't talk like this, or people will think you're insane.
I know. I tried to keep it to myself, but...
Now, let's start the game. It's 8:30.
Ain't it? Great heavens, look outside. Ain't it? Look out.
Howard, what is it? It came through the window.
An arrow. Sticking in the wall. They're here, Ain't it? They're after me. They'll kill me.
Howard. Howard. Oh, he's fainted. Grandfather. Grandfather. Grandfather.
Ando, wait here. Someone must come to tree. See someone. Come now. Wait. Ando, no. You try to kill. You give Ando money, much money, or Ando tell.
But put arrow down. Down, down. No, don't kill me. Don't kill me. Oh, die.
Well, Miss Lane, find anything on the menu you'd like for dessert?
Anything? Oh, goodness, I find too many things. And all fattening. Lamont, what are you having for dessert?
Well, nothing, thanks, sir. Black coffee, though.
Oh, what ails him, Miss Lane? He hasn't spoken for a half hour.
Well, if I know the signs, he's worried. Aren't you, Lamont?
Confound it, look who's coming.
Cardona.
Excuse me, Commissioner.
What's happened?
A nutty phone call. A Miss Marlowe call.
Marlowe?
Yeah, she said something awful had happened. Wouldn't tell me what it was.
Come on, Lamont. Let's go out there.
Coming, Margo?
Oh, wild horses couldn't keep me here.
Let's hurry, Commissioner, or we may regret it.
Mr. Williams, you're not seriously suggesting that these, what do you call them?
Mariposas, Commissioner.
Yeah, you can't believe they followed you all the way from Central America to shoot an arrow through your library window.
They meant to kill me. And they will.
I don't expect you to believe.
Oh, some kid in the neighborhood has a bow and arrow, and a shot went wild.
I find that hard to believe, Commissioner.
And Miss Marlowe, you two were playing chess when the arrow flew in?
Yes. Howard upset the chessmen when he got up.
Yes, I see. From the direction they fell, I surmise Mr. Williams was facing the window.
Yes. Usually I sit there, but tonight we changed about.
Why?
I was nervous with my back to the window.
And Mr. Williams, did you see anything outside the window?
Yes. I saw a moth out there.
A moth?
A giant white moth flutter there. And beyond it?
Yes, go on.
A dark face seemed to float just beyond the glass.
A man?
They're not really men, I tell you.
You mean the Mariposas, Mr. Williams?
Yes, yes.
Miss Marlowe, what did you do after the arrow appeared?
I went and phoned you, Commissioner.
What did Mr. Williams do?
Well, he had...
If you must know, I fainted.
Yes, yes. He regained consciousness just as your car came up the drive.
You went right to the phone?
No, first I went and knocked on Grandfather's door, but he didn't answer. I thought he was asleep. So I went to the extension phone in the upstairs hall and put in my call.
You didn't look in to see if your grandfather was sleeping?
The door was locked on the inside.
Miss Marlowe, if your grandfather can't walk, how can he lock his door on the inside?
I believe that he can walk a little, so he won't admit it.
I see. Then you can't swear that Mr. Marlowe was in his room.
Why, he must have been.
There's no one else in the house besides you three?
There's Ondo, an Indian servant I brought back from Guatemala.
He could have shot the arrow.
But he's always been so faithful.
I despise him, and so does Grandfather.
Oh, I see. And Miss Marlowe, what's beyond the French windows?
The old orchard.
Let's go out by the window and take a look, Lamont. You're coming, Margot?
Yes, indeed.
Now, be careful, Margot. It's dark out here.
All right. Whew, it's windy, too.
Storm coming up, Lamont.
Yes.
Well, I think we ought to round up that servant and ask him a few questions.
Right. But let's take a look outside here first.
An Indian and arrows, they go together. But if you insist on wandering around an orchard, I'll humor you. Here, flash your light on the ground here.
There you are.
No footprints.
No human footprints, but what do you make of this?
Well, a couple of triangular marks. What is it?
The mark of a hoof, Weston. A cloven hoof.
Oh, cloven hoof, my eye. Next thing you'll be saying, it's a death warning.
Perhaps it is.
Lamont, do you mean that Howard Williams is really in danger?
Grave danger, Margo.
Well, maybe that Ondo is stalking him. Hey, where are you two going?
Down into the orchard, Weston.
Oh, Lamont, this place gives me the creeps. What are you looking for, anyway?
A certain tree. Must be in this direction.
There's plenty of apple trees here, and probably... Ah!
Margo, what is it?
Oh, I stumbled over a body.
Steady, Margo.
What's wrong? What have you found?
The Indian.
He's dead. Look at the arrow sticking in his chest.
Yes, Margo. He was stabbed with this arrow. Stabbed through the heart.
In a moment, we'll return to the shadow. Right now, let's consider the case of a typical householder who has solved his fuel problem for the winter. Just how did you go about that, Mr. Smith?
Well, first thing I did was figure out how much coal I need every month. I did that by looking up the bills for last year and working it out according to months.
That's fine. The coal dealers tell me that even if you can give them a fairly close idea without being absolutely accurate, it will help a lot.
Well, the closer the better, I figured. But I went down to the basement and estimated how much coal I had on hand. Had about half a ton at the time.
That's not a great deal.